Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. And today I have Greg Eric in Toronto with me. So it's a special kind of day for us on Get a Grip on Lighting, Greg. But we are honored to be joined by Chris Siegel, Vice President of Product Development, Lamps and Light Sources at Satco. But before we get into our conversation with Chris, which is very important, I would say, for the lighting industry. We want to go to satco.com. Go to SATCO.com. The gangsters, and we got one of them here,
We
Chris
got,
Siegel.
and you can see in his background, that's just a little bit of the product they have. We've seen it live in person. They have thousands of items, and now you're going to make it easy by doing your color quick and power quick. That's selectable, lumen selectable color on a majority of your products, it sounds like. LED products, at least. We're not going to do the legacy stuff. We're going to talk about that today, but for sure on the LED. So that's great to hear.
And of course, Satco is a member of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, Greg. Go to NAILD.org. Our convention's coming up. That's right. So you should be watching this. It's coming up in the next couple of weeks. Go to NAILD.org to register. If you have light bulbs in a warehouse and or light fixtures and you sell them over the counter, online, or on the phone, on an order desk, you should be a member of NAILD. Go to NAILD.org. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Chris Siegel.
Thank you. Good to be here. Nice
No,
to
it's
see you guys.
yeah, good, great to see you, and thanks for coming on. This is a topic we need to get into, and surprisingly, I know this is more of a U.S. thing maybe than Canada, and we'll get some of that input here. But I do get a grip on lighting. You'd think that I would stay up to date with what's going on, in the industry, and really
You're not
reading
alone.
into it, right? And so, as of August 1st, about a week before we're recording this here, I got an email from one of our employees that said, "Hey, do you know about this?" I said, "Ah, yeah, just ignore it. There's some halogen incandescent ban. They're gonna get rid of some items, and we just keep moving forward." And then I started reading about it a little bit. I'm like, "Okay, wait a second." And then, of course, I go to the man himself, Chris Siegel, and he sent me a perfect email that summed it all up. This is legit this time, Chris. Like every other time we've heard this, it hasn't been. What's different this time?
It is legit, and this legislation is actually, it's been in place for a very long time. What's happened over the years is through different political regimes, it gets modified, it might get delayed, it might get reenacted or updated, but the structure of it has been in place for over a decade. And along different aspects or different divisions of traditional lamps have been eliminated. And what's different this time is now there's new parameters that were set and that have to be adhered to. In previous legislation, there has been a sell-through of grandfathered in, if you will, inventory, product with a manufacture date or product with a production, either a manufacture date or an import date. But you're allowed to sell through that inventory. But this particular one, because the way that the DOE established the rules of engagement for this, they sent out, this notification or this notice was published in the Federal Register in April of 22. And they basically said to the industry, hey, you've got a year and a half runway. We're giving you 14 months to clear all this stuff out of your inventory. You can no longer make it. You can no longer import it after December 31, 2022. So then August of 23, August 1st of 2023, this stuff is done. It's a stop sale. It's a sales ban on anything that's non-compliant. So that's the major difference between this round of legislation and the previous rounds.
And it's interesting that it's actually come into effect now. Like, because in the past it was, we can do, rough service, or we can do shatterproof, or we can do different things to get around it, but
Right.
that's gone.
So what's happened with this is the over the last 10 years, as the government has continued, the Department of Energy has continued to monitor the sales of all the exempt items, but not necessarily the sales of the exempt items, but they've also been able to monitor the progress of the technology in the industry and suitable replacements for those products that had exemptions. There were a lot of loopholes. You mentioned shatterproof lamps, vibration service, rough service, all those exemptions have been eliminated. You know, what they did with this particular round of legislation is they expanded the original definition of what is a GSL, a general service lamp. And before the you know, it fell into a lumen range, 310 lumens to 2,600 lumens. Well, now that lumen range has been expanded up to 3,300 lumens to eliminate the higher lumen lamps, like your 150 watt A21s and A23s and your 200 watt lamps. Now there are suitable replacements on the market for those products. So they've expanded the lumen range. And anything that falls within that lumen range, if it's now considered a general service lamp, has to meet 45 lumens per watt. So if you want to essentially look at all the other products, incandescent, the average lumen per watts was 13. Halogen, 18 lumens per watt is your average. But then when you get to CFL, it's an average of 60 lumens per watt, and LED is 70 plus. So basically this legislation, if anything is considered a general service lamp, it has to be 45 lumens per watt. So that had basically eliminated all incandescent and halogens. And there still are exemptions, but for the most part, you know, all of your traditional exemptions went away, including the exemptions for, you know, BR30s and BR40s, halogen PARs. Those are all eliminated now as well.
That's the one that really stuck out to me, was the halogen PARs. There's a lot of applications where I deal with, like, a performance-based, you know, theaters or a church where the dimming is very crucial. And those halogen PARs, you can kind of match with LED, but not quite.
Yeah.
And
it is going to be a challenge for certain industries. There is no doubt. The studio industry, there's going to be problems. There will be, you know, I actually had an email yesterday from a customer that was using a 100 watt incandescent lamp in a conveyor. They had them in a conveyor belts inside of like an oven area. Mm. And you know, this oven area gets up to, you know, excess of 350, 400 degrees Fahrenheit. There's not a 100 watt medium base lamp in LED that can really withstand that type of ambient operating temperature. So, but it's difficult to create an exemption for that particular light bulb and that particular application, and then not let someone take advantage of it and use it in everyday general service lamp applications. So, you know, the industry is going to have to get creative and try to figure out how to find different light sources and solutions for those type of applications.
I don't even know where to start. I got like 8 things on here. So first off, was Satco consulted on this? Let me ask you, were you a part of any stakeholder committees? I mean, I would say that you guys are the largest legacy lamp warehouser in the country. Would that be safe to say?
Well, I would say that we have made it our business to make sure that we've remained a viable resource in this industry, as far as the legacy lamps or traditional lighting products is concerned. We've been in business for over 50 years, 56 years, I think.
Consulted? Did anyone from the DOE ask you guys what you thought about all this?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, we are part of NEMA. We sit on the board there, and we have a voting presence, and we're involved with those conversations. The DOE, as I said, I mean, this legislation really started many years ago, back with ISA 2007, where they started to, you know, ISA 2007 actually began the phase out process of traditional incandescent lamps from 2012 to 2014. And then you had the DOE ruling of 2009, which began the regulation of halogen PARs. You know, that's when, remember, we went from like a 75 watt halogen PAR and a 90 watt halogen PAR so as you begin all the different phases of energy saving through legislation, you know, they created these stop gaps and these different aspects of it for well off into the future. And 15 years ago, we thought it was, okay, well, it's so far into the future, we're not going to worry about it. Well, the future is now, you know, the dates have arrived. And, you know, when the industry, you know, saw this legislation on the horizon a decade ago, it really wasn't that ominous. And now it's here, and the industry is kind of, you know, going to have to figure out how to adapt to it.
What is the stated purpose of this legislation?
Well, I mean, it's really energy saving. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. I think that a lot of the news media misrepresents the additional savings today. I think, in my opinion, now I don't know this 100%, but I believe that a lot of the data that you see as far as the dollars that are being saved by the American people by this particular round of legislation was really based upon legislation that was enacted 5 and 10 years ago, when, you know, when we really started to see the very beginning of LED and, you know, the elimination of a 60 watt incandescent light bulb. I mean, 60 watt incandescent light bulbs were eliminated back in 2014. It's been 9 years since anybody sold a 60 watt incandescent light bulb, and the 100 watt light bulb was eliminated in 2012, you know, 11 years ago.
Yeah, but my point with this is that this seems like a relic of this legislation. It seems to me like a relic of 15 years ago thinking that all that matters is lumens per watt. That's the only metric that should guide us. And as long as we stick with lumens per watt, we won't make any mistakes. And
yeah, I think that this part of the legislation, in my opinion, and listen, I mean, we're going to support, you know, the industry, and we're you know, again, as members of NEMA and working with the DOE in good faith, I mean, we're going to do what we need to do. But I do think that this last wave of legislation, is it going? How much is it really going to impact the industry? I mean, the halogen PARs, yes, I can see and understand, because there still continue to be a lot of halogen PARs, MR16 lamps sold in this country, LED technology.
But there's a reason for that, Chris. There's a reason for that. I'm sorry, but you just can't beat a halogen MR16. I don't care for light quality over an LED. I'm sorry. With dimming and all that factored in, can't beat a halogen. It's the best light source for many applications.
You're right. You're right when used on traditional dimmers. So also you have to take into consideration that the controls companies that are out there that specialize in controls are doing a very good job today of creating new controls that are rated and designed to work with LED light sources, and pairing them up with the drivers and testing them to where they can mimic that of traditional lighting. You are going to have a problem if you put LED lamps, especially lower cost LED lamps that are sold, you know, through, you know, retail channels built to meet a price point on traditional incandescent and halogen dimmers. You're right. The average person is not going to have a satisfying experience if that's the direction that they're going. They're going to have to upgrade the controls. Again, that's more costly, and unfortunately, that's the path to you know, the advantages of the energy savings.
You know what tells me that this legislation is crafted by people that don't know that much about the replacement light bulb market? You know what tells me the most about it? You had mentioned that CFLs were able to be kept because they meet the lumens per watt, right? But the halogens are eliminated. And to me, Greg, you tell me if I'm wrong, I think you could eliminate every single CFL out there quite quickly. There's a LED replacement for almost all of them. Mm-hmm. But I can think of dozens and dozens of applications for halogen and some incandescent where there is no LED replacement for those particular applications.
Right. No, landscape lighting, where you have these small landscape heads and you have MR16 lamps in them. You go and you take an LED MR16 and you put it in one of these landscape heads in a yard in Arizona where it's 113 degrees every day, and that's before they ever even turn the lights on. It's not a suitable replacement. You have to actually replace the entire fixture head and go with an integrated LED light source. I mean, for those reasons, you're 100% right. It's there are applications. Now, as far as CFL is concerned, and this is going to get into a different subject, because it meets the lumens per watt, this lumen per watt requirement was not designed to protect CFL. CFL just happened to fall in it because of the efficiency of it. But CFL will begin its own. CFL is already on its way out.
And, yes, for sure.
You know, I mean, LED has taken over that. I mean, for the most part, you can purchase an LED lamp today for less than you can purchase a CFL.
Absolutely.
The CFL does continue to be more durable for certain applications. So let's say that you have.
But they're not irreplaceable. It's not irreplaceable.
No, but the states, right. So there's no federal regulation right now regarding mercury containing lamps. But the states are beginning the process of enacting on their own legislation to eliminate CFL. So CFL will eventually meet its own demise. The Department of Energy, even today, is beginning the process of formulating another round of legislation. You know, and that could have something to do with CFL, but it also may have something to do with the performance of LED. So the next round of legislation would be to ensure that
all lighting sources are made in China.
Well, it's to ensure that. You know, listen, I mean, the industry was kind of headed that way already anyway. I mean, there's not many traditional lamps that are still made in this country. I mean, you know, that's unfortunate, but it's the nature of the beast as far as that's concerned.
Right.
But,
let me ask you something. Do you consider lighting or electric light? And, you know, a lot of people maybe not think about this, but do you consider it a military strategic technology? So the ability to provide electric light is something that the United States would need if it were to go to war with another country?
I mean, I'm sure that you can look at it that way. You can look at it, you know, a lot of different ways, and there could certainly be a case built around that as well.
Do you think the DOE looked at it? Do you think the people that enacted this legislation had a real 180-degree view of the issue before enacting this legislation, or were they tunnel vision on lumens per watt?
I think that they did a fairly decent job of trying to look around the corner,
trying to do this in the first place? Like, maybe they could just not intervene and life would be better for everybody.
You know, why did they choose the lighting industry? I mean, listen, there are parameters being built around water efficiency and heating and air conditioning and all types of energy consuming products. So the lighting industry is one of those for sure. Did it need to be as regulated as it has become? Probably not, because of the fact that the lighting industry is so complex and there are so many different applications, and one technology is not suitable to be the one source of technology for every application in the industry. So that's a challenge. There's no doubt.
I think this is people looking for a purpose. Like, there's really, they don't have better things to do. And so they're sitting around, like, trying to figure out, I'm allowed to say whatever I want because this is my show, and I'm Canadian, And so I'm sure the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Agency won't care that much about what I say about the DOE, okay? So listen, you ever heard of the Great Leap Forward in China? You ever heard of that thing? Right. This sounds like a mini Great Leap Forward. The DOE is saying, we are going to reject incandescent lamps and halogen and CFL as mercury, and we're just going to reject all this stuff. And what is the absolute best case scenario that could happen? Well, then that's what's going to happen. And there's not going to be any downside. There's not going to be any collateral damage. This is so stupid, Chris. I'm sorry, but whoever's enacting this legislation, this is bad, bad, bad legislation. You could do so much better.
Well, the only thing I would say to counter that, because, you know, I got to keep going back and forth with you. That's my job.
Sure.
is that, listen, this is not just in the United States. I mean, Europe is doing the same thing. I mean, they're actually ahead of us in these types of changes to lighting. But then the rest of the world, of course, is behind us. So it's not only here, but it certainly is, as the largest lighting market in the world, it's going to impact the United States or North America more than it is, other areas around the country, around the world.
I want to give you a tip on that Europe thing, okay? America, stop following Europe. Those people have no idea what they're doing. Okay, they can't even decide whether they're not going to share a currency or not. Okay, like at least America has a common currency among its states. All of its states have the same currency. Okay, this is a block of nations that cannot decide to even have the same currency. Okay, they are not ahead of us. That's just how they position themselves. Okay, they're always positioning themselves as better than America. And Europe's doing everything better, and we should be like Europe. And I would say, no way. They should be like us. We're way richer than they are.
Are you going to petition ElectroFed in Canada? Because I think that they're looking to follow the DOE as well.
ElectroFed is not a government agency. It's a trade organization.
Right.
But Canada follows everything that America does. So like, we just follow along, right? Yeah, sure. But I mean, this is the whole thing. Would you follow your buddy running off a cliff? Like, this is just, the fact is that if you know anything about lighting, and listen to me, DOE, whoever else, anyone catches this podcast, you're not listening to the lighting industry, or you're listening to the wrong people in the lighting industry. It's not that, listen, the mercury ban. Okay, ban the F32-841K. That's replaceable almost across the board. But there's all manner of little fluorescent lamps that now you're causing people to throw out old equipment. And that is not better for the environment, Chris. It's not better for the environment. It's better to just let it fade away naturally. What are you going to have, tons of mercury going to landfill now? All manner, everyone's going to throw out every fluorescent tube at the same time? It's not a good idea.
No, listen. I mean, this is there are a lot more challenges that the industry is faced with. As far as people may not want to replace as it becomes natural, or the next phase would be, okay, well, I'm going to replace the lamps. Well, if I don't want to replace the lamps, the cost of integrated LED luminaires is coming down, so maybe they go and they replace the LED luminaire. Well, now you're filling up the landfills with fixtures that, can have replaceable light sources still in them. So that, but there's 100 different ways to look at everything. And I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with your position on a lot of stuff. And I wish I was smart enough to really counter, or at least offer some alternate opinions to make sense of it. But it's really difficult.
Nobody would debate me on this issue, Chris. Nobody. But there isn't one person at the DOE, if we said, let's have a debate on whether we should do this law or not, I would crush them with logic. Crush them. They would have no way out. They would have no way out of it. I know way more about this than them.
One of the, points of this is the cost of energy consumption for the consumer in their homes. Let's take into consideration, all right, you got companies that can afford to pay because they're companies or whatever, but you have a lot of low-income housing in this country, and if they're using higher wattage incandescent and halogen lamps in their homes, these are the people that can ill afford to have higher energy costs. So by
I'm not letting anyone pretend that the government does anything for the poor. Every policy the government comes out with hurts the poor in this realm. Okay, it does not help them.
I'm just trying to offer a little, something on the other side of it.
Yeah, it doesn't help the poor to tell them that they have to replace all the light fixtures in their house now. Sorry, doesn't help them. No.
I'm going to jump in here, Chris, because surprisingly, I didn't think Mike would have an opinion about this, but obviously.
Yeah, shocker, right?
Right. So the fact is we are here now. We're in this phase and we have to deal with it. So
right.
I have I'm going to give you a made up example that is true. I have a customer that's a large church using a 90 watt par 38. Well, now it's a 70 watt par 38 halogen for years because of the dimming. they like that 5 to 1% dim level, right? And it's very difficult to replace that with LED and get that dim level and everything. So we're in this situation now. They call me next week and say, send me a case of PAR 38 halogen. What do I do?
Well,
I know it's my choice, but what
I got good news and bad news is what you say. I got good news. Okay. The good news is the DOE is doing you a big favor.
Oh, is that right?
And you have to give me $78,000.
But I mean, realistically, though,
realistically, you're going to have to take a look at the application. You know, you take a look at the controls that are in there. And figure out whether or not they're LED rated. You provide them with a suitable LED replacement lamp. And then, listen, as I said, the technology is getting better. You know, if you're going to go out there with the least expensive LED lamp that you can find, then you're probably not going to have very good dimming performance. But if you want a robust product and you put it on a good dimming control, it will work and it will provide a pleasant experience. It can be done. And just, you know, just so we can also remember, though, there are still exemptions to this legislation. There's still a lumen range. It's the bottom of the lumen range is 310 lumens. So your 25 watt incandescent lamps that are 280 lumens, you know, 20 watt MR16s, they're lower light output. Yes, they are, but they're exempt because they're not considered general service applications. So, or general service lamps, appliance lamps that are used in ovens, heat lamps. You know, there's a lot of products that are still exempt and still have exemptions in this legislation. We have over 700 incandescent and halogen lamps in our line today that will remain viable in our line because they fall into an exemption one way or another. So there's still a lot of product on the market for a lot of special applications, and we'll continue to support those products as long as there's a demand for them in the industry.
But let's going back to my, I know you're not going to tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I will. But let's say I sold him a case and somebody finds out.
You're talking about the lighting police.
Yes. What's going to happen to me, Chris? I mean, I don't know if this is your spot to say, but. There's this.
Well, I can tell you this. Yeah. I can tell you that the DOE has established their enforcement policies. And if I was to wager a guess, I would say that they will start with trying to search the internet. They're going to be looking online for e-tailers. They're going to be walking into the largest retailers in the country. They're going to be looking on the shelves to see if any of these non-compliant products are still being sold. If they can find them, then the seller of these products can be fined up to $500.
There's a hardware store up in Cottage Country here in Ontario, and he's got a ton of 60 watt, 100. He's still got, I offered to buy them from him. I said, I'll buy all these from him. He's like, no, I'll just keep them because the cottagers like these bulbs for their cottages or whatever. They're going to find him. Like, they're going to find this guy that's got the incandescent lamps, like, as if he's Al Capone.
It's going to be difficult. To your point, it's going to be very difficult. I don't know that the DOE has as many people on the payroll as, let's say, perhaps the IRS, but they are going to be out looking one way or another. And, if you're doing it in big enough a way to bring attention to yourself, you could be caught. And if you are caught, they can research your books, they can audit your books, and they can fine you up to $500 per bulb that you've sold since August 1st. Wow. So, you know, you might want to think about before you sell a bulb for a dollar, if it's really worth it, you know, at the end of the day. So it's going to be difficult for them to blanket the entire country, but it will happen. But listen, I mean, companies like us, we disposed of everything that we had left in inventory on July 31st. So we haven't sold anything else and it's all gone. So when our distributors run out of it, they can't get it anymore from us.
Any idea?
Eventually it will deplete itself on the market.
Yeah, that was going to be a question I had, is how many did you have to get rid of, if you're okay to say?
I'd rather not give you the number.
Okay.
How many tractor trailer loads was it?
You wouldn't have wanted to buy our remaining inventory.
How many tractor trailer loads was it?
More than one. I don't know. It was more than one.
Yes. Wow, that's crazy. Any final thoughts on it? I know we wanted to kind of keep it quick so everybody could get an update on this, but because it's in effect and we got to be ready for it. Anything else you can give us we should be ready for?
No, I mean, I really don't have any parting comments, you know, other than just, you know, it's not going to be the best case scenario for every application or every installation in the market. And it's unfortunate that this last round went into effect, because I don't know at the end of the day. I do think that LED has, you know, was naturally taking over all of these products anyway.
Yep.
You know, the transition to LED was going to happen anyhow. I mean, you know, you take a look at how many BR30s we were selling 10 years ago versus how many we're selling today versus how many BR30 LED lamps that we're selling today. It pales in comparison. So, I mean, the fact that it was eliminated, the fact that it came to this, it's unfortunate for those that are, you know, still in need of that technology, but the industry's happening. It's moving that way anyway. So with that being said, what I was going to say is the manufacturers of traditional technology, as the volume continues to go down and down and down and down, halogen PARs, for instance, the volume continues to go down. Well, as the volume continues to go down, the cost were just going to continue to go up. Mm. Raw materials become more difficult to come by. You're not running them on 24/7 shifts. You're running them one shift a week, you know, so the costs are going to continue to go up to the point where people really weren't going to be able to buy them. You know, the LED was going to be the natural choice. It's going to be more readily available.
Well, what a waste. Like, I mean, I get it. I mean, you're trying to spin it positive, but it's just like all of this was already in play anyway. Anybody on the inside in the industry, everyone in the industry would say, why would you force the church to rip out their ceiling today instead of maybe when an LED bulb comes out that is actually $40 each but can work with a traditional dimming system or whatever that's on its way? Why are you creating all this garbage? Why are you making a hassle for everybody? This was happening anyway. And I'm sorry, Chris, but this is the great leap forward for lighting.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, all I can say is try to embrace it. Try to figure out what works best for you and find a company that you can align yourself with that has a lot of solutions and a lot of options and work with them to help you make sure that your customers have a pleasant experience with the products that they ultimately choose to use in their space.
You know, Greg, I know a good company.
You do?
I do. You go to Satco, go to SATCO.com. We've talked about it on the Business Blast on TEDMAG.
Yep.
We've talked about it on the show before. Satco is full line. Well, they just disposed of a whole bunch of lines, but full line, Greg.
Yeah, so doing the light thing, doing the right thing, that's kind of their phrase deal. And you guys do that. You're doing the right thing by following the rules. You're getting rid of what you can't sell, but you're also telling us what you can. And we're going to attach some of the stuff you sent me, Chris, that showed you here's what we got rid of, but here's what you can replace it with. Here's what we're keeping. You know, all of that. Very good resources, and I appreciate your leadership and Satco and doing this, because there's a lot of other companies that are just passing it through and not diving into it like you guys. So thank you for that.
So go to
We appreciate it. We appreciate your support and your group, and we're happy to be a part of it.
So go to SATCO.com. That's Satco.com, the gangsters down in New York. And, of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Do you have light bulbs in a warehouse? You better start looking at them closer now after this show, guys. Seriously.
Yeah.
But take a tight look at that warehouse. If you sell light bulbs over the counter, you have them in a warehouse. Take orders over the phone. You got a website. Selling them on Amazon. I don't care. If you're doing that, you should be a nailed member. This is your organization. We're having a convention coming up, America's Lighting Convention.
I'm ready. Are you?
I'm ready. Dallas, Texas, September 17th through 20th. I remember the dates this time.
Good job.
So check it out, folks. Come to naild.org. And, of course, our thanks go to Chris Siegel, with the longest title in the lighting industry, Vice President of Product Development, Lamps and Light Sources at SATCO. Thank you for joining us today, Chris.
My pleasure.